Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 35. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Matt Scalisi, editor of FilmNerds.com.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Not bad, man. I'm still reeling emotionally from watching Inside Out.
Yeah, I think we all are. And I think I want to go back and reel emotionally a little bit more soon with a second viewing, and I doubt I'm alone with that sentiment. And you know, there's something I want to talk to you about. I think a lot of adults are going to want to see this again, and I'm sure that a lot of children are going to want to see it again for different reasons. And I think adults and children are going to like this movie for perhaps some similar reasons, and we're all going to get a lot of the same jokes, but I think we're going to like it for a lot of different reasons too. And the question of, or I guess the sentiment or the just general thought about Pixar these days, and has been for the past couple of decades now, which is hard to believe, is that Pixar movies are experiences that can be enjoyed for a multitude of reasons by children and adults. And we've been saying that since Toy Story, and it's been true for sure. But it seems like Pixar movies have increasingly gotten more and more complicated and more, I don't want to use the word mature necessarily, so let's just stick with perhaps complex, and I think emotionally complex is probably more appropriate for especially the work of Pete Docter, who made Inside Out and who made Up, one of the most emotionally complex and just emotional in general Pixar movies to date. So, Matt, the question that has just been stirring my brain crazy since I saw it on Saturday afternoon in a room full of children is, are Pixar movies really for kids anymore? And let's not kid ourselves. They come from Disney. They are animated. They are brightly colored. So in some respects, they are specifically designed for children audiences throughout the world. But when you talk about the specifics of the plot and characters and all sorts of elements of Inside Out, and as complicated as it gets, and as philosophical as it gets, it makes you wonder, was this movie actually designed for kids? And the same can be said, again, for a lot of other Pixar movies. I just think that this notion reached its peak with Pete Docter's latest movie. You're a father of two children, and I believe one has seen Inside Out now. So you tell me, is this a movie that they can really fully enjoy? Obviously, they're not going to get everything this movie has to offer at their young ages. They'll do that later in life. But do you really think that these movies are designed for kids anymore?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways to approach that question. So one would be to say, you know, is it being made with kids either only in mind or primarily in the mind of the filmmakers as the audience? The other question would be, does it at all alienate, you know, kids in the audience? Is there any bit of it where they would maybe feel not connected to the movie? So I brought my 7-year-old daughter to see this. I have a 3-year-old, about to be 4, son who kind of backed out at the last minute. He has not been to a movie in theater yet, and probably for the best that this wasn't his first experience, I think, because I think it would have been a little over his head. Just in my opinion, knowing him, that may not be true of every 3 or 4-year-old, but I think for mine, I'm not sure that he would have fully grasped enough of what was going on. I mean, I think this movie in particular, Inside Out, I think asks you to make a little bit of an imaginative leap in that some of the scenes in the movie are happening inside the head of another character that you never see in that setting, right? So all of the stuff that's happening in this sort of interior world is actually affecting and going on inside of this other character that we see in a different set of scenes. And I think it probably would have been tough for a 3-year-old to make that connection of like, all right, these two different movies that are happening at the same time are connected. But my daughter, Naomi, definitely, I mean, it was like right in her wheelhouse. I know she got it because the first thing she said to me when the movie was over was, do all of the emotion characters in the movie, do they all have emotions inside their heads too? So like she definitely understood what was going on and how this stuff was all happening inside one of the other characters. I think that this movie, at least using Mahayat's 7-year-old as an example, did not alienate her from what was going on at all. She totally understood it. She was entertained. She was absorbed by the story. And I think she probably even took some stuff that wasn't on face value. I think she understood that some of it was, you know, meant to be sort of talking about the real world and commenting on real things, because she's made analogies to it since we saw the movie. I think to answer the second question of does this movie, you know, is it made without children in mind? Is it going to not work for some kids in the audience? I would say no. I think it works for the kid audience. But I definitely think this movie was made perhaps more so than the average Pixar movie with the adult audience in mind. I think really Pixar's best movies, and we can go into this in further detail, they're all made in this sort of very simplistic structure where, yes, it is a kid's movie at face value, but each of the elements in the movie, including the setting that it takes place in, are really easy to apply to real-life situations that an adult may be thinking of. And it's not trying to make some very specific commentary. This is not like one of those like socially conscious movies. I think it doesn't worry about making a straight analogy to real life, and I think because it sticks to these very broad, simple forms, I think it works even better for adults than, I'll use a quick example of, this is just a movie I saw not that long ago, and it's not a bad movie, but Over the Hedge is an animated movie, I think DreamWorks made it, and you know, it's like very, very obviously about consumerism and making fun of how people, buy junk food and eat and get fat and throw things away. So it's not attempting to hide what it's actually about at all. But I don't think Pixar would ever do anything like that, at least not their good movies. I think their movies are about what they're about, and they're made in such a way that it's very, very easy for an adult member of the audience to see parallels to their life. And so, I mean, I think this represents the peak of that kind of filmmaking.
Yeah, except for liberal environmental garbage like WALL-E, that's probably true for most of Pixar.
I mean, we can get into that if you want, but I do think that WALL-E is a lot broader than just being about environmentalism. But we can continue going down a different road if you want.
Yeah, for sure. So I need to see it again without thinking too hard about what's going on. But there's a lot at play with Inside Out. And, you know, a friend of mine who I spoke with last night, he took his 3-year-old to see Inside Out and said it was fun for him. And, you know, of course, I think for a 3-year-old, you know, even though I'm sure many 3-year-old brains are much deeper than my personal almost 31-year-old brain, to be sure, you know, like he said the kid walked out talking about which of his emotions were his favorite. You know what I mean? So you've got these, like, brightly colored characters, you know, with the emotions, you know, you may not have, I want to say, like, I can't think like a 3-year-old anymore, but I'm sure I do more often than not. But I just wonder, you know, at what point do they check out of this, you know? And in my theater that was dominated by kids, I heard lots of restless legs, you know what I mean? At a certain point in the movie where it's like, well, was it during the part where they enter the abstract thought sequence, Were they walk into the subconscious? Where they go in depth about fading memories and make very specific references to art history? And I mean, it's asking a lot of the adult audience, let alone the kids. So I walked out of this movie thinking this movie was made by adults for adults. I mean, there's a lot of big thinking going on here, but there are basic themes and emotions that any child could connect with. I mean, what a wonderful question for your daughter to ask after seeing that movie. That's something that almost goes over my head, you know, when I think about it. I mean, and as I was watching it, you actually shared that with the thread shortly after you saw it, and that was before I saw the movie, and I thought about it as I watched. And so there's a sequence specifically where Joy, played by Amy Poehler, is experiencing disgust. And there's a sequence, obviously, where Joy is feeling sadness about what's happening to Riley throughout the movie. So it's clear that, yes, that is something that is at play. And that is a great question to ask about these characters specifically. And for that to come from a seven-year-old is amazing. And she is a great example of how this movie is obviously connecting intellectually and emotionally with children. But, you know, I just think about, I was listening to another Film Nerds episode recently, this spoiler review of Inside Out, which I recommend people listen to, with Ben Stark and Franco. And Ben Stark talked about whether or not he should shush loud children around him during a movie. And Franco said, no, I mean, this is for them after all. It's a Pixar movie. And that made me, you know, at first I'm like, I agree, I totally agree. I went into my movie expecting there to be 90% of a theater full of kids. But then I thought, wait, no, like this movie, if ever there was a Pixar movie that was for adults, Inside Out is it. And I want to concentrate and I want to hang on every last moment and line of this movie, something I was not able to do watching it, so I must see it again as soon as possible. But I think I got the gist. But I just think of other even Pete Docter movies. Again, I rewatched Up before I watched Inside Out. And, I mean, that movie is about grief. It's about aging. It's about human beings falling short of their life goals. I mean, this is heavy stuff that these animated Disney movies are clinging to and pushing to their audience. I mean, I think Up is a very specific example where we're trying to find a different audience this time. We're trending older this time around. Yet there are talking dogs flying airplanes, a multicolored bird, you know, big bright balloons carrying a house across the world. So Pixar is just obviously they're masters. They remain masters of crossing these different demographics. But I just got to say, this time watching Inside Out, I thought, no, this one's for us, you know, even if we want to be kids at heart, this one requires that extra
well,
mode thinking, I think.
I actually don't think that this is I think in terms of trying to reach the adult audience, I think that there have been attempts by Pixar that were less graceful in doing that than Inside Out is. I actually think that I certainly wouldn't call any of these movies failures, but I think that probably most notably in Up and Ratatouille, there are moments in those movies where they are very specifically reaching out to the adult audience with certain moments of those movies. And it doesn't quite feel like it flows in the same way that certainly that Inside Out does. I mean, I think Inside Out completely works all the way through, even if you are not trying to apply it to your life at all. And that's what really is necessary for a kid to connect to a movie, because kids don't have enough life experience to try and connect a lot of the movies they watch to their own lives. They don't have memories to draw upon. They're not constantly thinking about themselves. You know, they can get absorbed in the movie and just appreciate it for what it is. But I think, you know, for one thing, in Up, I think the beginning of the movie is beautiful and it drives the whole story. But I do think tonally there's a big shift after that to what happens for most of the rest of the movie. And then I think the other Ratatouille I bring up only because there's a couple of moments where they get very introspective, and I think there's a conversation in particular between Remy and his dad, where they're kind of just talking about their approaches to life and their philosophy. And it definitely takes you out of the movie for a second, and it's like, okay, here's what the movie's about. Here's the theme that we want you to be thinking about. And I just don't think they ever had to do that in this. I think probably Monsters, Inc. felt that way to me, too, which is why I've always put it up there as probably my favorite Pixar movie, that it just is its own self. It works entirely on surface level, even if you never think about yourself or your life. And if you do think about yourself, then there's a lot of different ways that you can apply it. So, I mean, I think that Pixar's movies, you know, with the exception of the Cars movies, I think they all, and really even the first Cars movie has a lot of moments that I think adults can identify with and that are made for the adult audience. I think they all are movies that are made by adults who want to have they have something to say with these kids' movies, and you know I don't think I would necessarily think of it. I would bet that the Pixar filmmakers aren't thinking about it from the context of I'm trying to slip this message into the adults who are watching the movie. I think they might even be approaching it like I'm going to inject these values and these messages into this very simplistic story that anybody can understand, and these kids that watch it will grow up thinking about it, you know, almost similar to the way kind of mythology works, right, where you're telling these very basic stories with basic characters, but the way they interact and the things that they talk about and think about and what drives them, it sticks in you, and it you know, it becomes a touchstone for you as you start to get older and think about, you know, things that are happening in your life. It becomes an analogy that you can call upon as you get older. And I certainly think that will happen with this movie. I mean, I think Inside Out, I watching it, I kept thinking, even for myself, and not to get too personal, but like, I thought while I was watching it, I wish this movie had been made 10 years ago. Like, I think I would have personally benefited from that movie existing 10 years ago. I think things that happened to me in my life in the past decade, I think this movie would have given me perspective on that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm watching it now and applying it to things that have happened to me. But I think that people that grow up watching Inside Out are going to have an advantage that a lot of us from our generation didn't have, because they're going to have this movie that says, you know, sadness is a necessary thing. You shouldn't, you know, avoid it. You shouldn't, you know, beat it up. You shouldn't try to bottle it up. And, I mean, you should let it do what it needs to do. I mean, I just think that's a very important thing to say. And I think it's important to say it to kids, you know, because they need it as much as adults need it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a great NPR, the Fresh Air interview that Pete Docter did recently, where he tells the story of when he was pitching Inside Out to Mindy Kaling, I think, when they were trying to either cast her or was after to cast her. And he said that at the end of the presentation, he noticed that she had been tearing up. And he asked why, and she said, well, I just think it's so great that you've made a movie here that tells kids that it's hard growing up and it's okay to be sad. And he said, well, we better write that down, because that's what we've been trying to articulate this whole time. And that is really what the movie is getting at. And I think that is a crucial message that is worth sending to children, no matter what age they are. I mean, kids that are going through what Riley goes through in the movie, moving from one place to another, whether it's across the country or across town, or, you know, just out of your city that you live in. It's a big deal. And lots of kids are going through it, and lots of kids are expressing or feeling similar feelings that Riley does in the movie. And I'm sure that they're just as confused, and it takes a minute for that sadness to kick in or feel like it's okay to be sad about it. So this movie is doing a good thing in relaying that message. But going back and watching Up even too, I mean, you say this is heavy, and it's about an old man who, you know, clings to the memory of his wife through his house and feels like it's his personal duty to realize their personal dreams and life goals and failed to do so while she was alive, and she, he has to honor her memory. So we're talking about very adult themes there, but you have the Russell character too, and much of his story is similarly heavy, involving divorced parents, an absent father, and that is, again, something that is serious in tone, but it's something that a lot of children can relate to. And I think that's the important thing here. Even if it's serious, and even if it's something that adults might more fully understand, kids who go through the same thing are going to get something out of that, whether they get it 100% the first time they see it, or some of it goes over their heads. These are just identifiable notions that all kids can relate to in one way or another. And Inside Out, again, I think it's sort of the culmination of that. And Pete Docter is somebody who obviously has a unique gift when it comes to speaking to adults and children. I mean, I watched the Up Blu-ray features where it showed them developing the Russell character, and they talked about casting the boy who played Russell, and something that Pete Docter said was, you know, I don't want a child actor. I want a real kid. I don't want it to sound phony. I want it to sound like an actual kid might sound. And it has footage of Pete Docter and Bob Peterson directing this kid, and it's just an impatient little kid who loses interest in voicing a character in this Pixar movie, you know, probably minutes into doing it, but it shows Pete Docter coming up with these really unique and alternative methods for keeping the kid interested in doing that, and he got an incredible performance out of the kid. So, you know, Pete Docter is, you know, obviously somebody who Ben Stark had talked about in the Inside Out podcast specifically as possibly being everything that Pixar has come to represent, the MVP storyteller of the studio. And I think that it is never more present than what he was able to do with Inside Out, somebody who can speak to people generally on a large spectrum.
It does feel like a culmination of some kind. I mean, I think that they've sort of been, you know, it's almost like if you're thinking of their movies on a target of some type, that they've all been kind of very similar in the tone they hit, but in different ways. And you can almost see the various shots on the target landing closer and closer, and then this is kind of the bullseye so far. I just think it seems like it did everything Pixar's always been trying to do, but it's been in their DNA. I don't necessarily think it's that far of a stretch from Toy Story, tonally. You know, I mean, to me, all three of the Toy Story movies are heavily focused on very adult themes. I think the kids enjoy the characters, and they can identify with them to some extent, but I think that the main thrust of all three of those movies are about very adult ideas. I mean, the first one is kind of speaking to people who are getting older and becoming irrelevant in their world, and the second one is about, you know, loss and broken relationships, and the third one is about death. So, I mean, I think that those are movies that's kind of the tentpole of Pixar, and they're all, you know, from day one, these movies have had a lot for the adults who are there, you know, with their kids. It's really the characters in those movies have a lot more in common with the adults in the audience than they do with the kids in the audience.
Yeah, I think I've just been using this question in this podcast as an excuse to tell Ben Stark it's okay to shush the kids during Inside Out.
That's the most German thing to do ever, by the way, to go to a G-rated movie and shush children.
Well, you said that, but yeah, I may or may not agree with you. But so I don't know where I stand on Inside Out, where in terms of where I would rank it among my favorite Pixar movies. This is the worst possible task that we as moviegoers really have, ranking Pixar movies.
Yeah.
You know, again, like you said, for the rest of our lives, we'll be saying, with the exception of the Cars movies, and that's just a truth that we have to live with. But
it says it on the Wikipedia page, by the way, which I pulled up for this podcast. I was I was pulling it up just so I could have the full list in front of me, and like one of the first sentences says, like, with the notable exception of Cars 2, all of these films have been both commercially and critically successful.
Oh, so sad. Well, my question for you is, because I can't answer this right now, I feel like I need to see it again to really know. Ben Stark has said this is his favorite Pixar movie. After seeing it one time, he knows it. It's the best for him. So for you, where does Inside Out rank right now among Pixar movies?
Well, I think that it's safe to – I think it should be said that I did just – I mean, I'm less than a week from having seen it, and I've only seen it once. So that's a caveat that should be paid attention to for anyone who cares how I might rank Pixar movies. But my gut right now tells me that it is – I think it's, to me, the best movie they've made. So I would say it's my number one. But maybe it will change over time, and maybe it won't hold up on repeat viewings. I don't know. But to me, just everything about it, the reason I say that is because it made – I mean, the emotional punch of it landed harder than I've ever felt a Pixar movie land one. It just was more effective, and it spoke to me more, and it felt more important. After walking out of it, it felt like it's going to be an important movie for me for the rest of my life. Like, I feel like it's a movie I'm going to watch a lot, and it's a movie that I'm going to tell people to watch, and I'm going to refer to a lot, and it's going to stick with me. So you can never know those things walking out. But it felt like a movie that's going to stick with me. And so if that's true, then that means it's edged out what my number one, I've always said for a while now, has been Monsters, Inc., which similarly just really landed with me. It just felt, I mean, and it has, so I walked out of that movie, and I would say that it's improved with time. It has increased in the amount that I think about it. It's a movie that comes into my head an awful lot. And it probably more so now even than just the year or so after I saw it. I don't know if this movie will do that or not. You can never know that. But, I mean, my immediate gut reaction is it feels like a movie that's going to be important to me.
Yeah, I think it's important now. I do. And that's somebody saying that, you know, they need to see it again, but having watched it, I'm somebody who sort of has right now what feels like an immovable top four with Pixar movies. I think Ratatouille and The Incredibles and Finding Nemo and Toy Story, to me, separate themselves from the rest of the pack, and we're talking about an elite group of films. I mean, with the exception of the Cars movies, all of those movies are just so fantastic and great, even Brave and Monsters University. I just get so much out of those.
I love Monsters University.
Yeah,
honestly,
they're so
wonderful. I put it ahead of some non-sequels, I think, from Pixar.
Put it ahead of what?
I would put Monsters University ahead of some non-sequel Pixar movies, I think.
It's good. It's really good. It's really good. But, you know, having watched Inside Out, I walked away immediately thinking, this is upper echelon Pixar. It is. It's one of their better works, and you know, that's having seen the movie, not really feeling like I took it all in. I mean, I could change my mind, but I think it's probably going to be for the better, to the movie's advantage anyway. But you know, in terms of like the emotional beats of it, they're all there and they all worked for me. But having gone back and watched Up, There's obviously the opening Married Life sequence, which will rip you to shreds almost as soon as it starts. But God,
that's the best comparison, I think, for anything in Inside Out. I mean, I talk about Monsters, Inc., but I that's as a complete movie. I have not had any other Pixar movie have a moment that made me feel as strongly as that Married Life sequence. As multiple sequences did in Inside Out. So,
well, there are a lot enough, though. Like, I mean, what I was just going to say is, in the opening moments of the movie, when Carl meets Ellie for the first time, as soon as, you know, you have to have seen the movie already to feel this way, But as soon as I saw the Grape Soda bottle cap, like on her overalls or whatever, I just immediately started welling up. You know, like it was a trigger, just an emotional trigger. And I think that Inside Out is probably going to do that too. Like as soon as we see a certain character, like as soon as I see Bing Bong, it's over with. It's done. Like
damn, I can't believe you even said his name on this podcast, Ben.
Say what?
I can't believe you even said his name on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I know
we're gonna
have
to shut it down.
I know what that does to you. I know, but yeah, Bing Bong. It's so funny because I mean I'm sitting in a theater, and after the Bing Bong thing happens, I won't get too specific. I heard like multiple children and possibly adults going, "Oh, Bing Bong!" And it's just so funny that the name Bing Bong, you know, would have such an an emotional relevance to people.
Yeah,
now.
Well, it overcame people. That, you know? I mean, if they can make something that silly sounding on paper have that kind of emotional impact, I mean, think of what that says, you know? Ben, I want to ask you regarding this movie, because I think, look, movies are important to people regardless. If it makes an impact, it makes an impact. But I think in terms of its importance to the Pixar name and the Pixar legacy and how many people that aren't even born yet will one day see these movies, it is important, I think, whether this movie can make that mark on history that Pixar hasn't been able to do yet, which is to win a Best Picture Award at the Academy Awards. Do you think that this is their... Just, you know, from what little we know right now, do you think that this has a shot, a legitimate shot to do that?
Yes, I do. I think now is the time for Disney to cash in, to put all its chips in the middle of the table and really go for it. Because I think Inside Out, as it stands right now, just between, you know, mainstream and let's say, just hardcore moviegoers, this feels like the most important movie of the year so far, for sure. I think Mad Max Fury Road was that for a little while, but this crosses a much larger spectrum than that did and has made such an emotional connection with moviegoers and obviously is a marketable film that many people will see, something that is beloved by critics and audiences alike. This, I think right now, is the one movie that you can go ahead and pencil in as a surefire Best Picture nominee. And Disney needs to take that momentum now and totally run with it. They got their first nomination with Up in 2009, and that always felt kind of, it almost felt like a loss to me in a way. Like we use that, it feels like a loss. Terminology quite often
right.
To our favorite football team, but you know, it kind of did because that they had expanded the category at that point, and I was ready for Pixar to penetrate the five nominee category, and it took a ten nominee pool for them to finally do it when I think they probably deserved it with a handful of titles. Now, instead of just getting a nomination, They shouldn't settle for that anymore. It's time for Pixar to win. And I'm sure that there are going to be so many other great movies that come out this year, and we might feel like they deserve to win. But it's not going to bug us, I don't think, if Inside Out were to win Best Picture. And I think that more than any opportunity in the recent past, 2015 is when Disney can do that and give Pixar its due. And I think a lot of people, a lot of voters out there will feel that way, and they're going to connect with this movie emotionally too, and I think it's going to sustain the momentum that it has, and it's going to be a major player in this year's Oscars.
Well, I definitely hope so. I mean, I think, like you said, there's some movies where, regardless of comparing them to other movies, once you've seen them, you can say to yourself, there's no way I would feel bad if this movie won Best Picture, because it's a worthy movie and it deserves that recognition, whether there are other movies that might be, you know, that I might also feel strongly about or not. This is kind of a weird thing, but Pixar is probably one of the only studios that we think about as being a one release per year outfit. Does it help, hurt, affect at all this potential campaign? campaign that they're going to be releasing another movie before the end of the year, and that it will actually be closer to the awards candidacy time than this one?
Who knows? Maybe The Good Dinosaur, maybe we'll like that better than Inside Out. With Pixar, anything is possible, right? And I don't doubt that The Good Dinosaur is going to deliver. I mean, the guy who made the Partly Cloudy short, so we know he can tell a story, a unique story, just based on that, what, four-minute movie probably. So, I expect it to be great, and it'll be the first time that I think that two Pixar, if The Good Dinosaur is great or even good, I'm guessing it probably is, the first time that two Pixar movies will compete with each other, at least in the Best Animated Feature category, which will be really interesting. But, again, The Good Dinosaur, you know, waiting on, you know, how that might turn out and what kind of movie that can be, I just see Inside Out having legs, and I see it being the movie that Pixar taps as its representative at the Oscars. And, you know, I haven't heard, you know, obviously we've only seen the teaser, and we know very few details about The Good Dinosaur, so it wouldn't be fair to make an assumption one way or the other, but I just think, having seen Inside Out now, this is a movie that can really make an impact.
Yeah, and however Oscar campaigning works for an animated movie, they're just set up really well, I think. I mean, it will have made a ton of money. It will have gotten pretty much universal critical praise. You know, I think it's this year's kind of early year nominee. And then even if it matters, you've got, it's essentially this very limited voice cast, and they're all just total media darlings that everybody loves. Amy Poehler and Mindy Kaling and Bill Hader, you know, I mean, they're on every talk show, I feel like, every night. I see at least one of those people, out there promoting it, and they're great at it. So I think it's set up really well. I hope it does make an impact. And like I said, main reason I care is I just think Pixar should have one, you know? I mean, I think you say that with some actors and directors, but, you know, Pixar, I think, deserves, as a group, they should have a Best Picture award on their shelf.
Yeah, and it should be for the right movie too, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is worthy of it. And I think, you know, people vote for Oscars for dumb reasons, but if that's the dumb reason they vote for this one, that they need to give one to Pixar, then I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, and I honestly, Matt, too, I think 2015 has been really important to the Pixar brand, sort of in general, because, you know, and this is something that Corey Kraft and I have talked about on Aspect Radio before, and he was a major skeptic about the future of Pixar, and this was before he saw Inside Out, and I can tell you that he's a huge fan of this movie, that Pixar was trending in the direction of relying on its existing properties and brands that have worked already. So it has been trending in the direction of sequels and prequels and continuing furthering the continuities of movies like The Incredibles and obviously Monsters, Inc. And Cars, and we're getting a Finding Nemo sequel pretty soon. And for Pete Docter and Pixar to come along with this wholly original idea and movie, and for that to be a gamble now for any studios who invest in market something like that, and for it to be as successful as it is and as good as it is, it just reinforces what we already felt about Pixar as a studio, as a group of storytellers, as a unique brand in Hollywood that we can rely on for movies like this that we will revisit for the rest of our lives. And for it to be Inside Out and not The Incredibles 2 and Finding Dory, these are movies that I'm really looking forward to and I think will be really good, especially when you've got Brad Bird and Andrew Stanton making these sequels. But for it to be Inside Out 1, I think that was really important for Pixar.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it reaffirms, and anytime I feel like I've ever had any doubts about Pixar, they almost immediately do something to make me forget it. And, you know, I'm sure we all at some point had concerns about sequels happening so frequently. And, you know, even after Toy Story 2 and 3 had come out and been fantastic, I think there were still people that were really, really skeptical of Monsters University, and I mean, to me, I walked out of that going, well, I mean, if this is what they do when they make sequels, then hell, just keep them coming. I loved it. So I mean, right now I just inherently trust anything they want to do that doesn't involve talking vehicles. I'm on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, going back to the initial question here, are Pixar movies for kids anymore? I mean, Inside Out feels like a Charlie Kaufman Pixar movie, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
And for them to pull that off is just, it's amazing. And you know, having talked it out here.
G-rated synecdoche.
Exactly. So having talked it out here, you know, the conclusion that I'm kind of coming through is that, yes, it is. They are still for children, and they have things that children can still cling to and connect to. And I do think that children are, you know, primarily who they're wanting to connect with. I just think that as these filmmakers and these storytellers evolve and grow, they're finding new themes worth exploring when it comes to aging again and loss and family, and I think that they and we are all the better for it.
Absolutely, man. I'm so thrilled with this movie, and again, I can't wait to see it again, really. I don't know if I'm going to get to in the theater or not. I mean, I feel like I probably should do it in the privacy of my home next time so I don't make a an absolute spectacle of myself. But I'll definitely own it for sure.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.